Okay, yes. So today we have, we're starting this month of all about the Holy Spirit. And my prayer and Toya and my prayer is that we just don't also learn about the Holy Spirit, but we start to grow in our experience of God in the midst of our learning, and that the Lord will just keep opening up more and more layers about who Holy Spirit is, who God is. We might come in with a whole heap of understanding, but my prayer, and Lord, as we come even now, Lord, would you be working in our hearts? Would you illuminate to us, and would our hearts be open for that, to get greater glimpses and deeper glimpses of who you are, Lord, because you are indeed beautiful, and you want to reveal who you are in your entirety to us. So we give you this time in Jesus' name. So I wanted to start with a question about when you hear the word spirit or you hear the word ghost, what kind of thoughts come to you? I know for me, you know, if I think about the word, especially ghost, a bit spooky, a bit scary, eerie, yeah, not great, you know. And it was a bit interesting. When I grew up as a young person, I was in the Anglican Church, and I went to schools connected with the Anglican Church, and they would mention the Holy Ghost. Well, I can't say that that really stuck with me. I had no idea who they were talking about. And then when I got a bit older, when I was 19, I actually came to the Lord, and I said, yes, God, Jesus, you can be Lord of my life. And I was in a conservative Baptist church. They talked about the Holy Spirit. Once again, no idea. I had no idea what they were talking about. And so that is why we thought, you know, it's really great to give a whole month to Holy Spirit. And to start with really thinking about who is the Holy Spirit. And as it turns out, the word ghost, Holy Ghost, ghost is just an old English word for spirit. So if you hear someone say Holy Ghost, they're just saying Holy Spirit. So it's okay. Nothing spooky, nothing icky. It's all good. So I guess it's good to start with who the Holy Spirit is not. And so, you know, because it can be easy, because Holy Spirit doesn't have a body like Jesus did walking the earth, we can be a little bit confused. And sometimes we might think, and wrongly think, that Holy Spirit's like a force, some sort of energy that we get to tap into, some sort of power. And Holy Spirit's powerful, but Holy Spirit is a person with intelligence and personal traits. So in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we can see on the screen, it says, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances. So it's saying we can, you know, the Spirit can feel put off, like, well, thanks very much, but I'm out of here. If you're not going to, you know, if we're not accepting what the Spirit is wanting to do in our midst, we can quench, we can stifle what Holy Spirit wants to do. So you can't, you know, an energy source is not going to be stifled by our response to it or our behaviour. But Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit can speak and give directions, and a force can't. So we can read in Acts 13, 2 and verse 4 as well, talking about believers coming together, that while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. So here we see the Holy Spirit speaking, and it might not be in an audible voice. Sometimes they did hear that, but often it's a very strong sense into their minds and hearts. We're not sure. It doesn't actually explain that. But they knew, beyond all doubt, that they were spoken to, and they were spoken to by Holy Spirit. So once again, Holy Spirit is not some source of power or energy, but a person. And we can see that Holy Spirit loves, has passionate love for Father God. And in Galatians 4:6, it reads, "Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His sons into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out Abba Father." So it's not us giving praise, "Oh God, we love you," but it's the Spirit, His Spirit in us, stirring in us, expressing through us. The Holy Spirit brings the divine love of the Trinity into our very hearts, and we get to experience that, and that bubbles out, and we can worship. We can't worship without the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought of that? When we want to sing praise to God and worship, we can't do it without the presence of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is this beautiful connector that we have. And Holy Spirit can be known and can have relationship with us. So in John 14:17, it says, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." It's talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. So he says, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So again, it's reinforcing the Holy Spirit comes into our life as we believe. But that word "know" is a really interesting word, because it's used in the same way for husbands and wives, how they know each other intimately in marriage. So this relationship that we can have, or this knowing of the Holy Spirit, is really telling us that he wants to know us deeply and intimately. And that's the type of relationship that we can have with Holy Spirit. How beautiful is Holy Spirit, that we can have such this beautiful deep connection that is connecting us not just with Holy Spirit, but he's connecting us with Father God and all of who the Trinity is. So at this point, it's good to see again the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, and we looked at this a few weeks back, and so this again clearly points out the Holy Spirit is equally God. Holy Spirit has always been and always will be equally God, as with the Father and the Son, always wonderfully connected, never separated for all of eternity, always has and always will be. And so Holy Spirit together with Father and Son, always working in tandem, in connection, sharing the same passion and purpose. And we can see that through Scripture. Right in the beginning, we see with Genesis in chapter 1, verse 2, it reads that now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we know that God was present, Holy Spirit was there hovering over the waters, and the Word was spoken, Jesus the Son, and creation happened. They're all working together. And as we go forward, we see how God's heart, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son. And we see right at the beginning, the birth of Jesus, all Father, Son and Holy Spirit working together to see that this would happen. And in Luke, we see how the Holy Spirit was to come over Mary, the power of the Most High, to overshadow her, so that the Holy One to be born would be the Son of God. And then we see in Jesus' ministry in Acts 10:38, again, this wonderful working together, how the Trinity are working together. Father God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So there we see again this wonderful Trinitarian interplay, And Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, to minister and to preach, because it says, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, so it's pointing to his humanity. He came 100% human and needed the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needs the Holy Spirit, obviously, how much more do we? And as we're thinking about who is the Holy Spirit, it's good to also just to think about how the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we might read things, it might be a bit confusing. I guess straight off the bat, it's Holy Spirit. So obviously, with holy, we know that the Holy Spirit's completely pure of God. There is no sin, no blemish, no darkness in Holy Spirit at all. And we also see Holy Spirit referred to just as Spirit many times. And it's talking about Holy Spirit. And there is one reference to that there in Galatians. Also, Spirit of God. We see that mention of Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism. And Spirit of Christ. And also as Lord in 2 Corinthians. Now, the Lord, it's the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we can also, the Holy Spirit is also called Lord. So such a title of Lord for Holy Spirit really commands our reverence, doesn't it, and our awe of who Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit is Lord. Holy Spirit is God. And there are also some images that we are given in Scripture just to sort of help to, because Holy Spirit isn't a physical person that we see like Jesus, it helps us to sort of understand who Holy Spirit is and how he works with us and in us. So we see there's some water there on the top left. And the Scripture talks about Holy Spirit as streams of living water that will flow from within us. And we know that in terms of the earth and nature, nothing grows without water. There is no life. And so we can see the Holy Spirit brings us life. There is cleansing with water. There is refreshment. And so the Holy Spirit comes to bring divine life into us, that we might be spiritually refreshed and cleansed in our souls. We see that little lamp there, and Holy Spirit can be depicted as oil. And oil in the Old Testament was used to anoint, to set apart kings and prophets in their duties, and it was also in the lamps in the temple and would be burning there always in the presence of God. And so Holy Spirit also comes to set us apart, for God, to keep us burning with God's love so that we can accomplish all that God does call us into as well. There's the one there with the wind. What are those things called that fall apart there? Dandelion, yes, the dandelion one. And that reminds us too that the Holy Spirit's talked about as wind at the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, it comes like a rushing wind. And that wind, that word for winds also can also mean breath of life. And it reminds us too when Adam was formed, when God formed Adam, he breathed into his nostrils and gave him breath of life. And so this image of wind can remind us that the Holy Spirit brings us back to life. You know, when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we want more of the Holy Spirit, he's bringing more of the life of God to sustain us, which is a beautiful picture. Fire. And, you know, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes like tongues of fire. And fire, when anything goes through fire, it's completely changed. It doesn't stay the same. It can bring refining. It can burn the stuff that needs to be burned. And the Holy Spirit comes to refine us, to help us be transformed, to help bring the changes that God wants in our lives, and also brings fire. Is the Holy Spirit fire into us that we might be a fire to others, to bring the warmth and the love of God to others. And lastly, we have the image of the dove, and we see that when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. It's really really important too, when we read the scripture, when we read the Holy Spirit that is like these things. Remember, it's like, it's not is, because Holy Spirit is not an object. Holy Spirit is God, but he chose at that point to take that form, to come like a dove. And the dove is a symbol of peace. And the dove is a gentle, it could have come as any sort of, I guess, being or animal, really. He chose a dove, a gentle creature that is easily shooed away, yet the Holy Spirit is powerful. So he comes in gentleness and is powerful. And as we read before, it can be easily quenched, can be easily shooed away. And so the image of the dove is a really beautiful one to remind us that, the Holy Spirit, we need to be wary, aware of our attitude toward the Holy Spirit. Are we wanting to invite Holy Spirit in? Because he wants to be in and operate in power in our lives. And as in gentleness, keep nudging us in the right direction. But we need to be wanting that. I was just reminded that today of, as we were worshipping, I realised at the end of the first song, I thought, where's my focus right now? Am I thinking about the tune? Am I thinking about harmonies or the words? Am I thinking about Jesus? And I realised my focus wasn't on the King of Kings. And again, we have a choice. And I said, oh, God, I need you. I need you more. I need you. And I sense at that moment the Holy Spirit coming and opening up my heart and my mind to that connection again with God, to participate in that moment of worship, to be in that moment. And as we're singing that song, the ocean song, to think, yes, Lord, yes. I could look at the waves, but I want to look higher. I want to look to you and agree with what I'm saying with my mouth and not going through the motions. And the Holy Spirit is here with us to help us with that and to build faith with us. So moving on from that, we're going to look at how Jesus describes Holy Spirit. And this is where we're going. This is the last thing we're going to look at today. So Jesus tells us that Holy Spirit is the best gift ever. In Luke, he talks about, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he's saying, we might be considered good and we'll give, we're considered evil, but we can give good gifts. So God, who is supremely good, how much better is the Holy Spirit? And that's who he wants us to have. And this is Jesus saying that to us. And surely this kind of recommendation from Jesus must make the Holy Spirit completely irresistible to us. Is Holy Spirit that good? I want Holy Spirit. I want all of Holy Spirit. I want as much of God that I can have in my life. So Jesus tells us more. He tells us a lot in John. And in John 14, 16 to 17, Jesus says this. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot see him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Now we know that in Jesus the fullness of God lives, because in Colossians it tells us that. So all of God resides in Jesus. So Jesus, that's why Jesus can say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, doesn't he? So we know what Father God looks like or is, how we can experience God by who we see Jesus is in the Gospels. Well, now he's saying that about the Holy Spirit, because in that John 14, 16, probably another couple of slides. Yep, next one. Yeah, great. So in John 14, 16, he said, I'll give you another counselor. And that word another means another of the same kind. So he's saying, you know what I'm like? Jesus is saying, Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to be just like me. But the difference is, because he's not confined to a body and in space and time, he's going to be with you and in you and be with you forever. So the beautiful experience we have of Holy Spirit in our hearts right now never stops. We'll never stop. We have Holy Spirit, the presence of God in us forever. How wonderful. And Jesus goes and says a bit more about Holy Spirit in John 14, 26 and 15, 26. He says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify or tell us all about me, he says. So we see that Jesus speaks about and describes Holy Spirit as a Counselor and Comforter. And that is someone that comes to one's side, to one's aid, is a helper, is an advocate, is a consoler. And the word used here is parakletos, paraclete, and that just means someone who comes alongside to help us when we're struggling, when we need encouragement. When we advocate for someone or we advocate for something, we say that we're for that thing or we're for that person. And so we know, as God so loved the world and Jesus came, they are for us. Jesus is saying, Holy Spirit is for you. He's for you. He's in you and he is for you. He's there for you as well. And Holy Spirit, Jesus also talks about Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. So we can trust Holy Spirit. He's not going to lie to us. He's not going to mislead us. So as we develop that relationship with Holy Spirit, learn to hear the Spirit's voice, we can start to trust as we look to Scripture, as we share what we're hearing with the saints, and start to learn how to hear and trust the voice of the Spirit, that we might obey God speaking to us. Holy Spirit's going to remind us and tell us the things that we read and learn about Jesus, because he wants us to go deeper and live in obedience to what we know about Christ. And he wants us to go deeper, and as we read the Scripture with Holy Spirit, he wants to draw out deeper understandings for us as well. That's what he's here to do. So, what do you think about Holy Spirit? I hope that from today we can all believe that Holy Spirit is good, that Holy Spirit is God, and God that is in us and with us as we say yes to Jesus by faith. And, you know, Jesus referred that he is like a good gift, or like a good gift, Holy Spirit should be eagerly received, eagerly wanted. I don't know, when someone gives you a gift, I'm excited. because I'm wondering what's going to be in that side of that package, what's going to be revealed to me. And Holy Spirit, God wants us to receive him that way. There's always more to know, more to experience, more to be received. So as we consider and think about who Holy Spirit is today, I want us also to consider about how we might experience Holy Spirit in a deeper way and God's love in a deeper way, because he wants you to know his sweet embrace. And I just want to invite us to pray, and I might get the worship team to come up as I do that. So let's just pray. Lord, we want to be open to you, beautiful God. We thank you that you're with us strongly. You're strongly present here today, Lord. And Holy Spirit, like a dove, you don't force yourself on us, but you are here with gentleness, that we have a choice to know you more, to experience you more. And so, Lord, today I pray for those who may not know you. Oh, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you, Jesus, as their Lord, and that Holy Spirit, you would come to them. And for us that know you, Jesus, Lord, we say that we want more, because your word says that we can be filled with you and we can keep getting filled to know you deeply, Lord. Lord, like a fire, would you come and light us up, Lord? Would you burn in us your passion and your love for you and for your mission in this world? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you come and fill us, that you would continue your transforming work, that our hearts would be in alignment with you, our attitudes, that we would want what you want, Lord, and our thinking would be in your ways, Lord, and for your purposes. So would you just come and transform us into your likeness, Jesus, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from you, Lord, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm just going to facilitate the next session because there's a few new people here or visitors. So we're going to have a ministry time where we actually wait on the Holy Spirit. So what that means is basically, as Maria already shared, Parakletos is one that is called to come alongside. And in John 14, 15 and 16, it was mentioned four times. And in the New Testament, it was mentioned five times, but obviously Jesus emphasized a lot about the Holy Spirit. And then we see the Holy Spirit right beginning in Genesis, and then if you look at the last part of Revelation, it was the Spirit and the Church that say, come, Lord Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is here to prepare us to be all we can, to be Christ-like, to be the bride of Christ. So when we ask for the ministry of Spirit, you know, a lot of time we pray, come, Holy Spirit, is basically we're saying, we call on you, come alongside us to do ministry, because we can't do it on our own. So when we talk about that, waiting on the Holy Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 12, there's 9 spiritual gifting. Some will say more, but we'll go with 9. So it's basically prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of faith, gift of healing, discerning of spirit. Then there's gift of miracles, speaking a tongue, and interpretation. And then Maria mentioned about 1 Thessalonians 5:19. But before that, it says in 16, be joyful always, pray continuously. So you're aligning yourself, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit, do not stifle. In other words, let it flow. When you are joyful, prayerful, thankful, let it flow. Don't quench the Spirit. And then do not treat prophecy with contempt. And he said, with prophecy, test everything. Test it. But let it flow, and then you work it out what's going on. Which means we can make mistakes. And it's okay. All right? To stop or to stifle the quench of the Spirit is to ignore the prompting of the Spirit. There's also one part that Paul talks about, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Again, that's a person. You're grieving the Holy Spirit by your attitude, your action of sinning. But quenching or stifling is basically you ignore the Holy Spirit prompting. So I know some of you are used to using spiritual gifts, some of you are not, but this is a safe place. If you feel the prompting, have a go at it, all right? This is a place of grace and truth. If you make mistake, it's okay. Holy Spirit will not condemn you, all right? As long as have a go, all right? So we're going to worship. Let's come, Holy Spirit.
By your